The Young Turks Masterclass.
In the inaugural season of YT Masterclass, we have joined hands with Matrix Partners India, part of the Boston-based venture capital firm that manages $4 billion in assets across US, China and India. Matrix Partners India was founded in 2006 by the founder of Bazi.com, Avnish Bajaj. With a focus on startups in the consumer tech, B2B, enterprise and fintech space, Matrix Partners India has $700 million under management. Over the years, the founders' first philosophy has come to define their approach to investment and managing their portfolio of startups, which includes companies like Ola, Practo, Quikr, Cloud9, Daily Hunt, LimeRoad, and MSwipe. We bring you the story of D. Lakshmipathy's five-star business finance, a Chennai-based non-banking finance company that specializes in small-ticket loans for India's unbanked. Lakshmipathy took over the business in 2002, and Five Star over the years has established a unique underwriting model to assess businesses and extend collateralized loans against them. With a presence in over 150 locations across South India, serving 40,000 businesses and individuals, Five Star's assets under management stand at 1,220 crores, and interestingly, NPAs stand at less than 1%. This NBFC has raised over $150 million to date, but its first check came from Matrix Partners India back in 2014. Today, Lakshmipathy is in conversation with Matrix Partner India's Managing Director, Vikram Vaidyanathan. Let me begin with you, Mr. Pathy. If you can tell us a little bit about what was the thinking behind starting Five Star. What is your startup journey in that sense?
See, coming from a non-commerce background, transforming yourself as a banker, it's a journey full of challenges.
Okay.
But I hail from a business family. Driving a business runs in my blood. See, from my definition, lending, if you're able to master these three things well, then you transform yourself as a good lender. First, you should know whom to lend. That's very critical. Second, you should know how to lend.
Okay.
Third, you should know how to collect it back. When I joined Five Star in 2002, Five Star was a hire purchase entity, which were lending predominantly to two-wheelers and consumer durables. During that time, the company was in need of capital and a right product to lend.
Okay.
So when I saw lending to commercial vehicles, two-wheelers and consumer durables, I think in those days, if you go back early parts of 2000,
right,
there was big banks and big NBFCs who want to come to the retail sector.
Correct.
So the company like Five Star, like sub 10 crores of asset size, we don't have any space to move around. So our margins were squeezed, our pricing were squeezed.
Okay.
Especially we were worried about our asset quality.
Okay.
So in those days where I started to think about how to turn this company into a hire purchase company to a mortgage company.
Okay.
I think this is where my entry into Five Star started.
Okay.
So I think he's being very modest. I think it's more like Five Star joined him than him joining Five Star, because he came in.
So tell us a story.
He came in and he saw this company which was doing something else, and he saw this opportunity, so he invested his own money.
So you saw that there was a company with a massive potential, and that you thought you perhaps had ideas on how you wanted to grow it and scale it. So can you tell us a little bit about that period of time, what you were able to do with the business to grow it? What were some of the strategic thinking that you brought to the table?
So mortgage lending was not a great story heard about 15 years
it
down the line.
It still is not a great story.
I'll end up saying that how great it's going to be going
okay.
forward. So I think we thought, why can't we get into mortgages? From 2002 to 2007, 5 years, I just learned how to master myself as a perfect lender. So what I'm saying is, when we went into mortgage product
okay.
initially, hundreds of files I have personally visited. I have made an attempt to get into their family members, have a discussion with them. What was their demand? Why they need it? I have personally stepped into the business units of hundreds of entrepreneurs. I sat for them for some time. I looked around what was his stock, what was his business potential, what was the footfalls that he is having it. So 2002 to 2007, I just learned from a layman to a lender. From 2007 onwards, we started to focus fully on a mortgage-backed lending. Then we also came across who are the guys who are pledging the property and taking the loan from us. Then we saw a huge potential in small business loans. That is the second phase of the growth of the company, from a pure play mortgage lenders to a small business lenders. So all in short, from 2002 to 2013, when we met Matrix Partners, it was a conservative company with a single promoter whose concentration is only to learn how to lend, not to build.
Yes.
So there's one thing that is different about his journey versus others that we invest in. So he had put his own personal capital and a lot of the family capital. So he thought like a shareholder. So he was always thinking about his own personal capital. And the debt that he had taken, they had floated a lot of NCDs, but to a lot of people in their own community who they knew personally.
Okay.
So the value of capital and the fact that they had to return that capital. And the fact that they had to provide a return to both equity investors and debt investors was almost paramount.
Fanatical.
Yeah, paramount, and that sets the stage for some of the conversation that we had, because he was so focused on how to deliver great returns for shareholders. I think that mindset we don't find very often with founders. So he was almost very ready to say, okay, if I take people's money, how do I multiply it? How do I give
return
it back
it
to them?
Yeah.
I don't think other people actually have that mindset as much.
Okay. So Vikram, tell me, how did you discover Five Star? What was, how did you arrive at them? I know they keep a very low profile.
Yes. For us, SME lending was a space that was of very high interest, and we've ended up making multiple investments in that space. Very similar to his thought process, that they are very underserved. And if you actually pick the right whom to lend, then you can actually make a very profitable segment out of it. And we had looked at many other people. We had looked at the space, and we used to always keep hearing this name Five Star from people. We used to keep hearing it from some of the banks. We used to keep hearing it from other wholesale lenders who had given money. And they had a fantastic reputation as a very high quality, low NPA book. And that's something we worried about. It took us a long time, firstly to get a meeting, to actually get in the door, and then actually after that, the next couple of meetings on making sure our diligence was done happened very quickly, because we met him, he came into our office, and we decided to invest pretty quickly.
Okay.
And I think it took almost 9-10 months.
More than that.
Almost a year of courtship to finally end up doing that deal. So he'll tell you more about it.
So why were you reluctant, Mr. Pathy?
For me, capital is no differentiator than a debt. Legally, there is nothing you have to pay them back. But morally, I think, yes, they are borrowing from their LPs. They are investing in Five Star. It has to go back to them with a decent return, maybe after 5 to 7 years. So from my set, from my thought, all debt capital in any form it comes, I'm responsible to give it back to them. I think they would have met me 18 times for the small quantum. Let's not reveal the quantum now. So it was a very long discussion between me and Matrix.
So what were some of the things, Mr. Pathy and Vikram, if y'all can actually recount for us some of those conversations?
Sure. Yeah.
You know, what were you trying to convince him on? What were you apprehensive about?
So I think, the thing that most founders and investors fight about, we didn't fight about at all, right? Which is valuation, right?
Okay.
So he said, we offered a valuation which is moderate. He said, okay, right? And he said, valuation is yours, now terms are mine. And that was okay with us.
Okay.
And I think that's what we took more and more time, right? And I think we probably, at the time when we started, we didn't have a lot of terms to begin with. Over a period of time, as more investors have come, they've got those terms, and he's been very gracious enough to give us those terms later. But for him to get comfortable that there are terms, right, and the investor can potentially exercise those terms and get comfortable with the person who's going to be exercising those terms, that's what really took him a long time.
this is must have been refreshing to a certain extent, dealing with an entrepreneur like this, you know, vastly different from crop of entrepreneurs, you know, typically much younger, maybe have some professional experience building out their first companies, enamored with you know, the unicorn stories.
When you meet a founder like this, it is exciting and it also comes with challenges. So it's exciting because, you know, they're thinking as a shareholder, they're thinking about their own value, they're thinking very long term, they're not thinking short term. But we know that there are going to be challenges working with them, trying to make, figure out how to work with them on faster growth. Those would be the challenges that we were signing up for at that point in time. I would say the thing that excited us the most when we made the investment was what he said, which is he was a fantastic lender. He actually said, you know, it's very important whom to lend. But actually, most of the conversation that we had with him initially was whom not to lend. And he was very clear on people that he will not lend to. And that, so usually when you talk to people who are doing the lending business, they say they can lend to this, they can lend to this. Suddenly market size is very big. Whereas he would say that I'm going to only invest, only lend to these people. And then I know how to get to these people, I know how to assess them, and then I know how to collect from them. And he was very, very focused. And I think that I would say is sort of almost more refreshing than anything else, because you find very few people
clarity
with that
of
kind
focus.
Of focus.
So in that period of 18 meetings over 9 to 10 months,
yeah.
What was your biggest learning? That's something that you've held on to, and in negotiations that you've done after that, you've had Mr. Pathy's touch.
Founder always wins. I guess that is usually the biggest learning, but I would say
I think founder has to win in terms, yeah. You should win in valuation.
Yeah, correct. I think the biggest learning for us when we are doing some of the negotiation is that we learn as much about founders in the negotiation as we do in anything else. Because a founder who really fights on a particular term, like I remember he was very focused on the exit term. And even till today, he's very focused on the exit term.
Okay.
And, you know, you can misinterpret it saying he doesn't want to give exit. And but actually, it's completely the reverse. He's so focused on the fact that he has to give exit that he's fighting on that term the most. So when you can have more and more of a discussion around some of those terms, you can discover what is that person thinking. And, you know, my partner Avnish always says this, that, you know, you never make money on terms. Right. You make money on building a large company, but you can lose money on terms. Because that if things go wrong, you can potentially lose money on terms. And I think we got comfortable that we won't lose money. And therefore the terms were...
He made it his mission to make sure that you make your money. And you said as much, Mr. Pathy, just a few minutes back, that it was very important for you and you recognized very early that the VCs are in a business as well. Right, and not a very different business that from in which you function.
Exactly.
Correct.
They should also know whom to lend from an equity side, and when they can get back the money, and what are the multiples they can get.
From a strategic point of view, Mr. Pathy, what did you think it was that a venture capital firm like Matrix Partners would bring to the table? What did you recognize as some of the strengths? Some of their strengths that you could leverage on given your own experience and background?
In fact, to be open, I thought that Matrix will help me to grow.
Okay.
Both personally as well as from an institution point of view. But once we got the relationship, I think we had one meeting in Bangalore. We had a lot of meeting, but one meeting which was a turning point of Five Star to grow from a entity to a institution building. So we both were discussing over a coffee chat that yes, a product has been found, opportunity is big. So why can't we accelerate our speed?
Okay.
In fact, he recruited my first CEO.
Okay.
So I shortlisted, I gave it to him.
Okay.
So he recruited.
Vikram, do you remember that
meeting? No, I remember that discussion. So, you know, one of the things that was going in my mind at that time is that the company is doing well, it was profitable.
Right.
It had very high ROAs and very low NPAs, but it was going at a steady rate. And to him, growing faster was potentially sacrificing quality. And I gave him a lot of data on how other people had grown, how other people have done the raise money, how can you make sure that we can continue to hold on to our asset quality while growing fast, And if asset quality doesn't hold up, then we will slow down, right?
Okay.
And I think the biggest thing that came out of that was going to be team, because it actually gave him a lot of leverage and gave him freedom to do other things, because then he was able to learn and he was able to take on some of the operating duties where he was able to focus on new, because he focused on new growth and the CEO focused on existing branches, and therefore suddenly the company could grow very fast.
But what were some of the things that went through your head as you tried to give up a certain amount of control? Because you know, for this person to come in and make meaningful his responsibility in Five Star, you would have to give up a lot of what you were doing.
See, I think once you have a right product with you, if you want to grow that product, you should bring in a right team. Earlier, as you rightly said, I was handling the business, credit, operations, so all three integral parts of lending. But today, if you see Five Star, we have 10 departments. We have 10 department heads who have come from all banking space. Everyone has the freedom to move around. At the same time, as a promoter, I have to monitor them. If responsibility not given, then you can't expect the company to grow.
Yeah.
And one of the things I really have to appreciate is that a lot of people with his background, we often hear that they will build a team and they will professionalize.
That's it.
But very few people actually end up doing it.
Nurturing those teams, growing those teams, right?
No, he took his time. It was not like we invested and he immediately decided he is going to do all this. But he took his time, and with him, once he makes a decision, then it is a 100% decision. So as soon as he made this decision, then he went 100% and he built this entire team out, the CEO, CFO, and now, like you said, it's a bunch of department heads that have come in.
So now let's talk a little bit about the business itself, Mr. Pathy. Can you give us a little bit of an insight into what, to your mind, is your biggest differentiator from other NBFCs, from other lenders that are in the market today?
So what differentiates Five Star from our competitors are, first, we patiently learned this sector. For first 7 years, as I rightly said, I went into the families of my customers. I sat with them in the business unit. I saw how a business unit runs. So you have to be very patient in first cycle. Once you think you have learned it well, you are able to lend them well, you are able to collect them well, then you can accelerate the speed.
Okay.
And people are jumping now, they want to accelerate the speed at the first instant.
Hmm.
I think that's where the issues may come up as we go forward.
Perhaps pressure from investors there to show quick growth, large book size, but perhaps patchy asset quality, right, Vikram, for you?
So I think that is the case, and I think that's what made the partnership work, because he had set expectations low with the valuation. It gave him actually room to grow at the pace that he wanted to. And then once we started doing larger rounds with future round investors, we've had to grow faster. And so we made the choice to grow first, then, you know, take on more capital. But I'll tell you the other thing that actually differentiates Five Star is actually him and the team and the ethos of the team. I think until recently, he still travels 20 days in the field. I think only 6 months back, someone else has had the authority to open a branch. And we have now close to 140 branches.
50 now.
150 branches. Which meant, by the way, and he doesn't let anyone drive, which meant he would drive to all of these branches across these four states and see the branch physically and know what is happening at that ground level. And very few people actually do that.
See, what you talk, you have to walk. What do you say in a budget? What will be the growth story? If you are closer to that, I don't think there's any questions or any hardships which we'll be facing with in the board.
But how do you stay so disciplined? I mean, because there are external shocks in the business, right? That doesn't let you walk the talk sometimes.
So if you take last 3 years, almost 12 quarters have gone. In 12 quarters, we have not even missed a single quarter.
Okay.
Let me put, even in demonetization quarter,
we
never missed our target. In the GST episode, we never missed our target. Since we know our field very well, these are not the external shocks. We are one of the good asset quality even in that quarter. So I don't think if you are sticking with what you say, and what you say is really comes out of what you have learned from the market, there will be hardly any misses.
The other thing that we've learned and we observe as a pattern, all of our successful companies, they never miss plan, right? And so he never, him and the team never put forth a plan that they don't know that they can hit. And if they revise a plan, so far, touch wood, they've revised a plan upwards. Okay. They've never revised a plan downwards. And I think also in times of, you know, whether it's demonetization or GST and so on, I think they are always the first to inform the board. So even before the board members have thought about the problem, there'll be a very quick email or WhatsApp that says, this is the problem, this is what has happened, this is how we are thinking about some of these choices. And I think just having that advanced communication, and over a period of time, as a board member, you also relax, because you know that the founders are on top of it.
Talking about the future, you've done recently a 100 million round. You've brought in TPG as a new partner to your growth story. Tell us what you expect to do with this large quantum of raise that you've had, and tell us a little bit about how you plan to scale up Five-Star.
A name like TPG, a global player who wants to partner with Five-Star, itself says about how big the opportunity is for Five-Star. So with the new capital coming in, we want to exercise our growth beyond South. So we have just opened a few branches in Maharashtra and Madhya Pradesh, what we typically call as a learning branch. So we learn vital things from the market from these two branch states. Once our thoughts are right, then we start growing in the way in which we did in South India. Let it be organic or inorganic, this capital will really help Five-Star to position ourselves as a key player or the leader in this small finance segment.
This is the question that journalists always ask VCs, right? What do you look for in a startup? I'm going to turn this around and ask you, after Matrix joining you as their first partner, first venture capital into your company, what did you subsequently start looking for in venture capital? And therefore, what should all young entrepreneurs, you know, whether they are first-time business owners, folks just out of college looking to do a startup and raise money, or mature you know, professionals who are starting a business, what should they be looking for in their VC?
Let me start like this. They should not look for the valuation.
Okay.
They have to look for the right partners. So don't get the first partner wrong. That may change your aspiration drastically. Choose the first partner right. Take your own time. Don't give importance to the valuation. Give importance to the relationship. So end of the day, paper doesn't matter. People matters. So what I have learned from Five-Star with a venture capitalist like Matrix is talk what you can do. Don't overestimate yourself. Play it cool. Do what you can deliver and do it rightly. Those are the things which I think it's very important for a first-time entrepreneur who deals with the VCs like Matrix.
And what about negotiating terms? You know, any tips over there on how to get VCs to agree to your terms?
Very easy. Just say no. He's very good at doing that.
So thank you, gentlemen, for speaking with us. The Young Turks Masterclass.